This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program. Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
I'm back. I'm always going to come back. You'll never get rid of me. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We've got a great show planned for you today. The first interview I'm going to be doing the first hour is actually something I'm quite jealous of, this gentleman's work, because it's something that I've always wanted to do on the show, but just never got around to. We're going to be talking the first hour with Harry J. Getzoff, and he is the author of a book called Gold, lowercase g, capital O-L-D, which looks at inspiring stories, an extraordinary side of aging, and it's a very, very important discussion we're going to be having here in a minute. Later in the show, Dr. David A. Cass from Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, they have been working on some gene therapy that someday could actually replace the need for pacemakers. It could actually resynchronize your heart. Very, very exciting stuff in a world where advanced amounts of carbohydrates leading to insulin resistance seem to predispose people to arrhythmias at a greater rate, so much so now that pharmaceutical companies are capitalizing on this and advertising on the TV constantly for new arrhythmia drugs, anti-arrhythmia drugs. So let's get started. Harry Getzoff is taking the time to get to know some elderly people, people who have aged with great degrees of wisdom and have interesting stories. How you doing, Harry?
I'm doing great, Carl. Great to talk to you.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
Great, and actually, I have to
plug something. I know it wasn't part of the interview, but I have to plug something because a lot of my audience are big fans of Howard Stern.
Good.
And a lot of my audience know who the Jerky Boys are, as
yeah.
I do. And you actually, are you still the manager or were the manager for the Jerky Boys?
I was from the start in the middle, and I still do represent John, and it's just been a lot of fun for me. So it's one of those things where I'm proud to say that I've become friends with them. You know what I mean?
They were the most brilliant pranksters in the world, in my humble opinion, and gave rise to that show on Comedy Central with the puppets playing to prank
Absolutely.
Phone calls.
Yeah, they were approached. John was approached by them, and one thing led to another. It didn't really work out, but no, I mean, other people clearly did prank phone calls, but I do believe that stuff is brilliant.
They were the best.
You can still listen to it.
I was just going to say, I'm a huge proponent of laughter. Laughter is healing, like sex is healing. Laughter is healing. And if you want to laugh, I mean, laugh till you lose your breath, find some of the old clips of the Jerky Boys prank phone calls and just sit back and prepare. And if you're in your office, some of them are not probably eligible for the whole audience to listen to. But funny, funny stuff, I promise you.
It is.
So that's my first question to you, Harry. You've been in the entertainment business. Obviously have taken, some of these things in stride that you've worked with. How do you get into something as serious as starting to interview, aging people about the process of aging?
I knew that was going to be your first question. You see that? In a nutshell, I had always dreamt of being in the music business. My dad was a songwriter. My dad wrote songs for Johnny Ray, Frank Sinatra, people like that.
Cool.
I know. It really was. And my dream, and I think you'll understand this, my dream really was to be the next Brian Epstein. I wanted to find the next Beatles or be Billy Joel's manager or something like that. And I ended up, my friends of mine will say, you missed the music business by two decades,
Right.
By the time I was in, it started changing, and the music that I really loved, I couldn't really be part of that music business. So I started to think about, what it was I really wanted to do. I'd always liked older people. I'd always been, around them in some ways or gravitated toward them. I tried to do estate planning. I had a law degree, and so I was practicing law. And I'm not going to go into the whole story now, but I was at one meeting, actually, where there was an older gentleman who came up to me. His name was Leslie Nielsen. It wasn't the Naked Gun Leslie Nielsen.
Oh, okay.
But, and he started talking about how he was in the Battle of Normandy. He actually was rushed Omaha Beach, and
wow.
He's sitting there, and the next thing I know, there's like 40 people around the table, all with their mouths open, and I remembered, you know, it was one of those watershed moments of a life where I said, you know what? This is what I want to do. I don't want to count people's money and create revocable living trusts. I want to listen to these stories. And at the time, I was going through a divorce. So, you know, it was one of those why am I on earth moments.
Yeah, too. Yeah.
And I started just interviewing people on the Upper West Side, and I started interviewing family and friends. And then 1,600 interviews later and going strong, I have this book. So I didn't plan for it.
So 1,600 interviews you did in order to distill down to the interviews that you used in the book.
I would say, no, not, I just have a lot of interviews, and I went down, yeah, and that's a way of putting it. I could only, there are about 180 or 200 entries in the book. If your audience is familiar with Studs Terkel.
Oh, I love Studs Terkel.
Yeah.
What was the book he did about working men, working people?
Working.
Working, yeah.
Working, yeah.
Great book.
And his genre, you know, the oral histories, that was my model. I actually spoke with Studs two or three times, and he was so supportive. It's interesting, I never got the interview, but because he was so honest about the fact. He said, listen, Harry, you know, I'm going to die soon, and I don't give interviews to my friends even. But meanwhile, he would talk to me for an hour, and I could have interviewed him 15 times in the hour. But it's that kind of book. It's a collection of really cool, I think, nuggets of wisdom and good stories.
So what qualifications did a person have to have in order to be a candidate for an interview? Did they just have to be of a certain age, or did they have to have a certain quality as well?
Well, really, the short answer is, yeah, age is it. I used a number, 70.
70.
And you want to know something? As I've done this over the years, it's very interesting to me how when I meet a 70-year-old, as compared to maybe a 90-year-old or 95-year-old, you look at the 70-year-old and they're like infants, you know? Mick Jagger and Paul McCartney, and, you know, they're turning 70. I think Jagger's turning 70 next year.
Right.
And they're still rocking. So that perception. So age was the only thing that was a qualifier. And obviously, you know, as long as a person could express themselves, here's the thing I'll say right up front, because some people might say, well, this is a very Pollyannish book, and well, the truth is I am looking at the other side of aging. This is not about Alzheimer's patients or people who are suffering from dementia, obviously. But there really are a lot of people out there who are aging and going strong to the finish line. And
we don't hear about them because the media gravitates towards the train wrecks in life. Because
that's what keeps
eyes glued to the TVs and to the newspapers.
I believe that. But you touched on something very important there. When we look at a person who is in a wheelchair or a person who may be not perfect, in quotes, the way a lot of the times our marketers do.
Right, right.
We pull down the blinds. I talk about it in the book. We tend not to pay attention to that person. And
is that a completely American mentality? I mean, you always hear about how the Asians revere their elderly, and because you can, here's a person who's walked through this life. You can go to them and avoid some pitfalls. But here in the United States, we look at the elderly like, you know, you're passe. You're not relevant anymore. Get out of my way.
You know what? God bless America. I won't start to sing, but I really do love the country, and I don't want to live anywhere else. But I really believe, and so I don't want to make anybody wrong, you know?
Right.
But as a suggestion, yeah, I think that I've been told, and that's my dream, is to really go and go to South America and Asian countries and other parts of Europe and really get into a conversation with other seniors in those cultures and see how they treat their elders. I think, yeah, I think that we tend to want to make everything perfect here, and we want to be young forever.
Is it that, Harry, or is it that when we're young, and you know what, I like to call it the vampire syndrome. You know, remember the vampire bit somebody, they became a vampire, and we pass these things on, good or bad, we pass things on. Our children watch the way we behave with our parents. And then our children treat us that way. And this is, for those of you out there who have young children and your parents are still alive, if you talk bad about your mom and dad, in front of your children, be ready for them to talk bad about you when you're old. That's a fact of life, okay? But you know what? It's so important to be right in this country, to be correct about everything, that we're not even willing to take advice anymore because we're afraid that if we take advice, it shows that somehow we don't know what we're talking about. And elderly people want to give advice. You know why? Not because it's the last thing that they have to offer. Because they want people to avoid the pitfalls. They want the people that they love, hey, don't make the mistakes I made. Boy, I could have really had a much better life had I not done what you're about to do.
Well, I think that's perfect, the way you said it, actually, in a lot of ways. You asked the question, though. Hugh Downs is in the book. I had a wonderful conversation with him.
What game show was he? I couldn't remember the
game. Oh, my God. It's funny you say that. It's the first thing I said to him. Everyone remembers him from 2020, but I said concentration.
Concentration. Thank you.
Yeah, he was the
host. When we were kids. Right.
Yeah, that's right. Remember, I love that. Oh, my God. Yeah. It's still a good game. A lot of people don't know this, but Hugh Downs was really ahead of the curve in terms of senior citizen coverage, in the sense that about 30 years ago he had a show on PBS called Over Easy. He was always very in tune with the whole aging of the culture, and he said something during the interview, it's in the book actually, and he talks about, we don't really try to answer the question why this is, but the question comes up. He said he thinks that American culture is so rooted in one word, one concept, independence. It's literally, it's part of the fiber of what makes us great,
right,
in a lot of ways. Well, and I thought this was really interesting. When he said this, I smiled. I'm going, whoa. You know, when you think about it, when you're not as independent anymore, maybe there's a sort of a natural progression to, well, maybe you're not as valuable anymore. Mm. And I would hate to think that's the case. That's an interesting angle.
That is interesting.
You know?
Yeah, that's very. Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I've got lots of questions. We're talking with Harry Getzoff. His book is called, do you just call it Gold, Harry, the name
you
of the book?
You can say Gold, and it's The Extraordinary Side of Aging Revealed Through Inspiring Conversation.
And you can actually get the book at Eldercation, which obviously is put together by Elderly and Education.
That's right.
Eldercation.com. The reason that this book is so important is because we talk about anti-aging modalities to keep the body young, but who wants to live longer if you're miserable? Let's face it. Part of living longer has to be the desire to live longer. We're going to get deeper into this conversation when we come back. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Pump up the volume. Pump up the volume. Dance right about now. The funk so rubber. Check it out now. The funk. You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains D-aspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better, bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today. 6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to, is 6-Oxo progesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power block, the world's best dumbbell.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies, and no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan-2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company. Your shaker bottle is the most important tool in meal planning. The convenience in being able to take a ready-to-drink meal on the road is a necessity. Too often, often our shaker bottle backfires on us, making what should be a convenience a disaster. Shaker Pro is the only shaker bottle in the world with a separate chamber to keep your protein powder dry until you're ready to mix it. Shaker Pro's patented design ensures that all of your powders will blend completely. Shaker Pro is BPA free. Go to 4sportlife.com today. That's the number 4, sportlife.com. AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Yo, give me something to dance to.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Harry J. Getzoff. He's the author of a book called Gold, The Extraordinary Side of Aging. And you know, aging doesn't have to be what it was for our grandparents. We have technologies now. We understand nutrition. We understand the benefits of exercise and proper sleep. So our bodies can still be completely functional as we age. But I suspect, we're going to learn from Harry in a second, that the definitive factor is mindset. What did you find that was a common denominator or a group of common denominators about all the people that you interviewed that ended up in the book?
Well, you get some themes that, you know, people ask. Originally, I thought I was going to do a more quantitative type book, and you get your, you know, you need to, or about career, people will come out with, looking back on their lives, you really need to have a career or a job that you enjoy, because what a way to go through life, to wake up every morning hating what you're doing. It's got to be awful. And I think a lot of people probably do that. Or when it comes to aging, the whole use it or lose it mentality, which you just touched on, I will tell you that the one common denominator that ties it all together for me in some ways, I just realized this recently, is that every human being, even if they have sort of a common lesson that they pick up on, every single human being has that unique pathway, that unique way that they learned that particular lesson, if you know what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
And it's wonderful to listen to the story. I mean, you know, everyone comes from a different family. Everyone went to a different school. Some people didn't go to school. Some people had their father die when they were 16. A million different ways that you can get to a certain epiphany, let's say. Right,
right.
But you mentioned something there, one of my favorite, well, I say this about every interview. I've done hundreds of them. But I remember each of these. It's like I have 1,000 rabbis or, you know, philosophers on my shoulder all
right.
the time that I can pick from.
Right.
This woman, Geneva Carter, in Richardson, Texas, I shared with her that I practice Bikram yoga, and she told me that she's been practicing yoga. She was 93, I think, or 88, and she said she stood up, stood in front of me, bent from the waist down, and touched her palms to the ground, and then smiled while she was down there, and then rose up straight, and she said, I practice yoga, and that's what it does for my body.
Wow.
So, and she had had a heart attack when she was around 50, 54 or so, and the doctor said, you know, you need to find passive exercise, and that's her quote in the book, What in the World is Passive Exercise?
Really?
That's when she learned about yoga, and she'd been practicing ever since, and she claimed that it changed her life, and absolutely has kept her. Carl, when you talk to some of these people, it doesn't matter what the number is. There are people that I spoke with, this is going to sound a little weird maybe, but I felt like I was talking to a 25-year-old when I was talking with
them. Their spirit comes through.
Absolutely, and that's that whole spirit versus body thing.
The word enthusiasm is about the spirit within exuding out. That's what the word enthusiasm basically reduces to. Somebody who's able to evoke emotions in others by allowing their spirit to be conveyed. I have to believe that elderly people who have a love for life and don't feel like aging is a deficit are just as enthusiastic about life as they were when they were in their 20s and 30s. And I got to believe that that's what made them age well, because they had that, you know, the cart and horse thing. I have to believe that people who are optimistic and enthusiastic about life probably age better than people who are cynical and sad about life.
I think you're probably right. I mean, I think that, you know, there are people who will say, you know, this gets into a much deeper discussion, but how you are when you're 40 is probably how you're going to be when you're 80. That could be true at some level, but you want to know something? I believe in change, and I think people, I know that I've changed, you know, for instance, because of certain experiences I've had, and I've changed because of, I'm eldercated now.
Yeah,
you
right.
know, I've gone through and I've interviewed all these people, and I've gotten some pretty good coaching. I think what you just said is probably true, though. How you age, also what's happening, let's face it, you said it before, we have medical procedures now. I was in Florida maybe about 6 years ago, and I was walking down, I was in Marco Island or something, I was walking down the beach, and at the time, it seemed like every person had a scar down the front of their body, and I was looking at bypass operations, you know?
Yeah.
The men I'm talking about,
right.
obviously. And the thing is, think of what that, my father had a bypass, everybody we probably know past a certain age probably has.
My mom had a bypass.
Yeah, and you know something, now they do it, if it's located in a certain area, they don't even have to open you up. And think of, that adds a decade to your life.
But see, I'm a little cynical when it comes to the medical orthodoxy, and I really applaud you're right, you are right. These people were saved because of that procedure, and it prolonged their life, and what they did with their lives after that point was better than them just dying.
Right.
But I look a little deeper, and I go, Harry, the reason all these people needed bypass surgery is because the food we eat today is crap.
Bingo.
You know, but that's a whole different discussion.
Louise Hay is in the book, you know.
Right.
And you know who she is?
No.
All right, Louise Hay is, some people would consider her to be the matriarch of all self-help, Louise L. Hay. She's Hay House Books, where Wayne Dyer's on there.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's Louise Hay.
Uh-huh.
I interviewed her, and what you're talking about, Carl, is exactly, she is in the health and wellness chapter, and she says, with the baby boomers, you are going to have an entire generation of people who are going to be hooked on pharmaceutical medication.
Right.
And it's not going to bode well for them. But she at one point talks about pizza, and she talks about the junk that we eat. And she, at the end of saying, what is a piece of bread with a little tomato sauce on it going to do for, you know, sauce going to do for a healthy body? She said, it's madness.
Right.
That people think they can be healthy eating the way we eat. So I totally agree with
you. And the food system is even more corrupted than that. The things that we don't even realize is that the quality of meat, the quality of poultry, the quality of fish is so poor now and loaded with antibiotics and the wrong kind of fats because the animals eat artificial diets that they're pro-inflammatory and they cause disease. So even when you think you're eating healthy, you're not, unless you're sourcing your food from the right sources. It gets very complicated. But let me ask you this.
Yeah.
How many of these people that you interviewed had living spouses?
Well, I'm just doing a quick run through in my head. I mean, I don't know.
Do you think it was more or less? You think that
less? I think probably by the time people got into there, and I don't want to generalize, but yeah, you know, you think that very often the male goes first. My mom, I shared with you while we were on break there, or before we got on the air, that my dad passed away last year, and
right.
My mom is. I think she's phenomenal. She's doing really well. She lost her partner of 60-plus years. But to answer your question, I think probably, I don't know, if I had a percentage on it, it's definitely more people had lost a spouse at that level.
I wonder what the attitude about losing a spouse has to impact the rest of your life.
Well,
there are people who they say die of broken hearts after they lose a spouse, and then
yeah,
I think
you hear that, hear that, and they say primarily males.
They die of broken hearts.
I mean, it's not unusual.
I think we die because we can't do our own laundry and feed ourselves,
or cook a meal, or fry an egg. You know, it's like no. But the thing is, there is that aspect. I mean, how you are, Carl. This all comes down to spirituality, I suppose. And you were talking about how you're. Outlook on life is there are people, first of all, there are people who don't fear, I'm learning this, there are people who don't fear growing old, and then there are people who do fear growing old.
Right.
There are people who fear death, and there are people who don't fear death. I don't fear death. It's just one of those things. I don't want to die, and I want, like I say to everybody, I want to go strong to the finish line, as strong as possible.
Right.
But how you are really does dictate how you're going to live your life, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an attitude that you have. Maybe
that's
it comes
right.
from birth. Maybe it's something that's learned. Maybe it's learned in the familial household from your mother or your father. But clearly, there are those of us who, and all of us have been through hell and back, typically in this day and age. And some of us come out of it with this. It takes us a little time to bounce, but once we bounce, we have the same enthusiasm for life as we did before we went through the ringer recently. And we come back. Some people don't. Some people, they lose a percentage of that enthusiasm with each bump in the road. And like a top, they start wobbling out of control, and then all of a sudden they go, you know, I'm done, and they hit the ground and they stop spinning. Then there's those of us who we just continue to spin. And it comes, in my humble opinion, especially because of the interview I just recently did about medical miracles, you know, people who seem to be able to overcome medical adversities in the face of everything and everybody saying they're going to die, and they don't, and their bodies heal. And we know that the mind, the spirit, plays a much larger role in the outcome of our lives than we give it credit for. And you know, those of you who are shaking your head and saying, yeah, you know, I'm not into that. I'm not talking about the secret. I'm not talking about you can will yourself into being a millionaire, but you can control your physiology. You may not be able to control your bank book, but you can control your physiology with your mind. There's no doubt about it. This book that you've written is a testament to that, because what we're looking at here are just people made of cellular vessels of bone, muscle, and sinew. But when you take the spirit and look at the spirit, what you see is the spirit of these people that you're saying these people age well. You're seeing their spirit come through. It's not their skin that's sagging or their head that's bald. You see their spirit come through.
And you know something? There's one of my favorite questions to ask, and it actually I played with using it for the title. This guy, Phil San Antonio in Oklahoma City, I asked the question this way. Let's say I was interviewing. I said, Carl, for a second, I want you to forget about all your physical everything. I don't want to hear about achy bones. I don't want to hear about the muscle pull. I don't want to hear about this or that. For a second, I want you to just tell me in your heart and in your mind, in your spirit, what age do you feel like? And then this guy, Phil, looked at me. He goes, Harry, what you're asking me is, if my home didn't have any mirrors, what age would I feel like? And there's a chapter, if my home had no mirrors. And I mentioned to you before, that's 100% of the time when I ask that question, people smile almost immediately. And when I'm finished asking the question, they immediately throw out something like 30 years old or 40.
Right.
Some people said 16. And they're not kidding. I'm going, what are you talking about, 16? They go, Harry, in my mind, I still feel that age. It's hard. And then they explain it, and that's part of what the book is. And you said to me about the mind, and that, there it is. If you think that way, and if you really believe that you still have fresh ideas, maybe you've never painted before, or you've never played piano. You can be 85 years old, or 80, or 78, or 95, and say, you know what? You wake up that morning and go, I want to take piano lessons. And you're not lying in bed, you're not sitting there just thinking about it, and you actually do new things. And it's got to have an effect on,
yeah,
on how you are.
And you know what? I'm a firm believer in the priming the pump, so to speak. I had Dr. Cassandra Forsythe on the show a couple months ago, and we were talking about why people get fatter as they get older. And she said, you know, when you're in college and you're running between classes and you're going out and you're partying and you're doing this, you're doing that, you're constantly in motion, and you, no matter what you eat and what you drink, you seem to stay thin. Then you have children and you slow down. And then you go, gee, you know, I don't know. Every time no matter what I eat, I get fat. And then you get older and it happens even, and she says, you're looking at it all wrong. It's because you slow down that these things happen. You're not slowing down because you're getting older and fatter. You're getting fatter and older because you're slowing down.
Can I indulge? I'm going to
please.
I just want to read one paragraph. This guy's 98 years old. His name is Ivan Reinhart.
Okay.
And I asked him the question I had asked him was, in terms of how senior citizens are viewed today in our culture, what are your thoughts? And this is what he said. I'll just skip it. He goes, unfortunately, I think older people are kind of viewed as throwaway commodities. What a shame, because going back to what I said before, there's work to be done. And then he goes, he said, you know, and of course I've known guys who came to retirement. They couldn't wait until the last day that they worked. And that's too bad. Then they get themselves a condo on a golf course, and they go out there and hack away at that ball 7 days a week for about 6 months. Then, after they have had all the hacking they need, the next thing they do is line up for the early bird special. Now, for me, to stand in line to buy a meal like that, man, I've got to be pretty hungry. I'm just not going to do that. life's too damn short. And then he went on and on. And this guy, at 90-something years old, he joined this organization for international management. It was like a mentor program. And at 90-something, he was traveling to South America and to Asia, mentoring young executives, giving them, bestowing knowledge that he had picked up over the years. He was doing something that he had always wanted to do.
Right.
So those are the kinds of things that, I'm not saying, you know, that every single older person is this way, but when you hear stories like this, it gave me pause. And I started asking myself, when I get to that point, what will my approach be?
Right.
Am I going to just sort of, you know, sit around and wait, or just, you know, out there? I want to pursue the dreams that I've always had. And
I want to do this. I want to take a break. And when I come back, I want to ask you about the process, the organic process of while you were doing this book, how it affected you personally. We're talking with Harry J. Getzoff. He's the author of the book Gold. And I have to look at this. I'm sorry, Harry. The Extraordinary Side of Aging. The website is Eldercation, ElderCation.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See eye drops. I've been using Can-See for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find Can-See eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. Can-See eye drops. The name says it all.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at ironmaglabs.com. Don't wait too long, because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
Age Force introduces the first ever nitric oxide booster plus advanced post-workout recovery formula in a two-stage transdermal pack. Stage one releases its nitric oxide boosting formula directly into the bloodstream the minute you apply it, and continues to deliver a powerful nitric oxide boost during your workout. Stage two is delayed time release, so the post-recovery formula starts after your workout. Go to ageforce.com and check out the new pre- and post-workout patch, and get 50% off any order with the promo code SHROX. Save 50% when you use coupon code SHROX.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food, and Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest this hour is
Harry J. Getzoff, author of the book Gold, The Extraordinary Side of Aging. You can get the book at eldercation.com. Later in the show, we have Dr. David A. Cass from John Hopkins School of Medicine talking about some new gene therapies that actually may rid the need of pacemakers in reestablishing proper rhythm of the heart. So, Harry, when you started doing this book, did you start doing this book after you had gone through your divorce?
It was right around, well, I suppose I could say yes to that, but, you know, looking back on something that Louise Hayes had asked me about why I'm hanging around with all these old people, I realized, I know, it's a very direct question. She was very good at that. In the beginning of the book, I really talk about this. I had always sort of gravitated. You know, when you have a chance to look back and you're going, oh, my God, it seemed like I always, if I had a teacher in college, I went to Boston University, Ruth Jacobs was a mentor of mine. She was older, and she was a very well-known gerontologist. Or this goes all the way back to when I was 5 years old, and I used to hang out and watch Jimmy Siano, the gardener, doing stuff in the yard. The guy was like 80, and he was working like a dog, and I used to go help him. I always loved being around him.
Right.
So who knows? Maybe this is something that was I had always
ingrained
part
in
of me. Yeah. It's something. Who knows?
I think that growing up on the East Coast, I'm going to say this at the risk of offending some listeners and probably bonding with some others, but I think it's when you grow up on the East Coast in enclaves, whether it's an Irish enclave or an Italian enclave or a Jewish enclave, I think we view elderly people a little bit differently, because back then our grandparents lived with our Aunt Mary, you know what I mean? Our grandparents weren't in a nursing home already, and we had these extended families when you'd get together for Sunday dinner or you know, the Sabbath, you'd have three or four generations in the room.
That's exactly right.
But today we don't have that by and large.
We're a much more mobile society, and that definitely is a factor in all of this. There's no doubt. And if you have that growing up, then you carry it with you. I totally agree with that.
So okay, so you had certain mindsets, right? You went through a divorce, which is no fun for any man in the United States today, and obviously, your family is broken apart. You feel bad about life. You're talking to these people. What were your epiphanies? Did you have any epiphanies when you started hearing the messages from these people?
Oh my God, this interview could be 4 hours long now. I listen. You know, you said divorce is no fun for any man. I know you meant to say it's no fun for any woman. It's just a terrible, terrible thing.
Yes, you're
now,
right.
Now, when you talk about a factor. Yeah, I will. I was in Newton, Mass, and Boston is one of my first loves. I love that city, and I was there, and I ended up interviewing a man named Manny Weinstein, and I remember at one point I asked him something about, you know, a lesson he'd learned or whatever, and he looked at me, and I'm remembering this now for the first time in years, and I get chills because he looked at me and he said, "Harry, to thine own self be true."
Ah.
And he went to the, and he kept, and he said it, and he went on with the story of why that line is so very important to him. But as he's talking about, you know, if there's something going on in your life that it's the truth is right there, and you know what it is, and you're in denial about it or whatever, and he really did explain it. I mean, my eyes welled up at one point because I was in the middle of the end, really.
Right.
And I was fighting for life because my mom and dad were married 60 years. That was my model. I really believed when I said
mine too.
Okay, so here's the deal. So he said that to me, and I'm not saying Manny changed my life, but it was one of those moments that it was like slapping me across the face saying, you know what? It's done. And you deal with it, get on with your life, and move over. So those kinds of things, that's why I said before, it's like I have this hard drive. We all have the hard drive on top of our shoulders, right?
Right.
I've got all these files, and I have Manny Weinstein. I've got Dick Vitale. I've got Louise Hay. I've got Naomi Young. I'm not going to list all 1,600.
Did you interview Maya Angelou?
I did interview Maya Angelou, yeah.
That had to be
amazing. Yeah, amazing. And, you know, there's another one. She talks about if you don't like the road that you're on, you know, just step to the side and take a different road. That's the same kind of thing. So you hear this. That's what I was saying before. People will say the same kind of thing, perhaps, but how they came to understand that particular lesson, that's the unique story. That's the real gem to me. That's what makes it special for me. And for anybody who can read this at this point, it's it's about how that person reached that knowledge. And to sit and hear these people talk about it. And so, sure, I mean, it's helped me. It's helped me throughout. There are times that there's this guy, Ralph Miller, who talked about he said his main philosophy in life is I don't hurry, I don't worry. And one point, and he said every accident he's ever had in his life is because he's always in a hurry.
Hurry,
if you think about it, it's true, right?
Right.
Well, I remember when I was in Kansas City, I had moved down to New York, and I was rushing one day, and I had gotten some stuff at Target, and I had like 10 bags in my hand. I rushed up to my door, and I didn't have a free hand. I reached to grab the plastic bags in my hand, and I forgot I had my car keys, and I smashed my teeth.
Oh!
Like, I swear to God. And I didn't even know anybody in Kansas City. It's not like I was late to a party or anything, so why was I running around? As soon as it happened, and I was on the floor looking for my teeth, Carl, I thought of Ralph Miller, and I smiled, and I thought to myself, he's so right. So from that day forward, whenever I catch myself running around like a chicken with my head cut off, I think of something that Ralph said, and it makes me bring it down five or six
notches. Slow back. You know, and these are the things that most families are missing when they don't have their grandparents around contributing. You know, it's really sad. It's really, really sad. Unfortunately, my grandparents spoke Italian, and a lot of what they were saying, my parents understood. But I got the gist of a lot of the messages.
Well, yeah, and you know what I'm saying? What I say at one of the last chapters, there's gold in them thar hills. What I'm basically saying to people is, it's within all of our reaches to, you know, my friend Courtney, when I was putting the book together, I worked with, I gave her a chapter to read, and 2 days later she came back. She said, you know, this is amazing. I look at older people differently. And I'm not saying this is going to change everybody's life. I'm not that pompous about it.
Right.
But she said, I was able to step a little bit to the right or to the left, and I looked at an older woman in the coffee shop this morning or a guy at the supermarket the other day, and I was looking at that older person a little differently, and I spoke with them, and she got into this great conversation with this older man. I felt so great when she said that, because that's what I want to inspire. That's the goal.
You know what? I say take it a step at a time. I say start to notice the older people. We don't
just
even
noticing
notice
them.
We race by older people. It's like our periphery sees, well, that's an elderly person. They can contribute nothing to my life. Let me just move past them and take a moment and just look at them. And when you look at them, you know, my dad died. I was with my dad when he passed away. And I remember looking
so
at him. And I actually gave him permission. He was holding on and holding on. And I said, Dad, we're okay. You've given us everything we need. And I'm not a big religious guy. I'm going to tell you right now, but I knew what he needed. And I said, Grandma and Uncle Anthony are waiting for you. They'll take care of you. And he died literally within minutes of me having this brief, monologue with him. But I remember looking at him. And I saw myself in that bed. Mm-hmm. I know, and I'm not just saying like, you know, I really did. I looked at his face and I thought, oh my God, that is my face. That's the shape of my eye sockets. That's my skull. That's my chin. That's me someday.
You know, and what? I see that. Sometimes I'm in Bikram yoga and I'm in tree pose or something and I'm not looking. My brother says the same thing happens to him. We sometimes see the face of my dad.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny how that can happen?
And I'm telling all of you out there who are rebelling against your parents right now, right around the time that you see yourself as your parent, your mother or your father, if you're a girl or guy, you'll also learn to accept them and realize how great they really were. You don't accept them when you're young. You're like, I'm smarter than them. I'm going to be better than them. I'm going to do things. Oh,
right.
My dad didn't. And then all of a sudden you start to hear them when you clear your throat and you start to see them in your face and you go, wow, I look like my father. I look like my mother. Right around that time, especially if you have children, that's when you start to think, wow, you know what? My parents were really pretty okay. But it's unfortunate that it takes that long for people to come around to that realization.
You know what? I don't know how close. I just want to tell you something. You just hit on something, and I just want to make sure I say this one time because you hit the key word, notice. The goal, my real goal, is to inspire people to notice and engage senior citizens on a more consistent basis and in a more meaningful way. But what you said, it hits it head on, because the first step, you can't engage them until you notice them, right?
Right.
Noticing them is where we fall short. I think we are running around so fast. You know, in the old record, I was in the record business. I can still say that, right?
Right.
Dating myself. They're operating at 33, and the rest of the world is operating at 78, right?
Right. Right.
So, you know.
Yeah, no, I agree. Let's do this. Let's take our last commercial break, and we'll wrap up the interview. We're talking with Harry J. Getzoff. His book is called Gold, The Extraordinary Side of Aging. You can get it at the website, eldercation.com. I'm going to tell you something. If you think that
This book isn't for you because you're still young and youthful. This book is absolutely for you because you can set things up now and gain these morsels of wisdom now that will make your life a lot easier. And if that's not the reason to buy it for your parents. Buy it for your mom and your dad. Okay? And you can sneak a read. No one will know. There you go. We'll be right back. Dix Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to is 6-oxoprogesterone. 6-oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to ironmaglabs.com today. Your shaker bottle is the most important tool in meal planning. The convenience of being able to take a ready-to-drink meal on the road is a necessity. Too often, our shaker bottle backfires on us, making what should be a convenience a disaster. Shaker Pro is the only shaker bottle in the world with a separate chamber to keep your protein powder dry until you're ready to mix it. Shaker Pro's patented design ensures that all of your powders will blend completely. Shaker Pro is BPA free. Go to forsportlife.com today. That's the number 4, sportlife.com. Age Force introduces the first ever nitric oxide booster plus advanced post-workout recovery formula in a two-stage transdermal patch. Stage 1 releases its nitric oxide boosting formula directly into the bloodstream the minute you apply it and continues to deliver a powerful nitric oxide boost during your workout. Stage 2 is delayed time release, so the post-recovery formula starts after your workout. Go to ageforce.com and check out the new pre- and post-workout patch and get 50% off any order with the promo code SHR. ROX. Save 50% when you use coupon code SHROX. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com. The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MAHLER.com. AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Harry J. Getzoff, author of the book Gold, The Extraordinary Side of Aging. You know, your attitudes about aging are going to set you up for how you age. And this is something I wanted to get in. I know I'm not very old. And therefore, I probably haven't accumulated the amount of wisdom that someone who's lived at 70, 80, 90 years has. But I have this strange feeling that your belief system, like your prejudices, they tie you into a narrow box. If you have certain beliefs, if you look at elderly people and you say, look at that old person jogging, look at their legs jellified, bouncing. Oh, how disgusting. Well, guess what? When you get to that age, you're not going to jog because you're going to judge yourself the way you judge those people.
That's so important.
Oh, you know, I remember one of the most profound books I ever read that the messages stayed with me for years. And my first encounter with a therapist, I was a young man in my 20s living in Las Vegas and made the good decision to see a therapist to help me work out some problems I was having. Jerry Katz, wonderful guy.
I still carry the things I learned from him around. He gave me a book that's probably still in print called I'm Okay, You're Okay. And Jerry used to say to me, Carl, you are certainly no worse and absolutely no better than anybody else out there. That's a very, very simple terminology. But if you really think about it, when you look at somebody and you judge them, you are judging yourself, because someday you're going to find yourself in that circumstance and you're going to limit your options to dealing with it because you judged.
You know something? It's so funny. It's a timely thing you're even mentioning. I wrote a blog entry the other day, which you can get through the site also. It's on Blogger. It's called Taking the Scenic Route, which is a whole other – that was another one of my titles. And I happened to – I took a walk by the ocean. I'm lucky enough to live at Vero Beach, and I was walking – I walked just about every morning, and I bumped into a guy. Had to be in his 90s, and it turns out this guy – because I met him again the next day. He – if you looked at him, you see an older man. You see the skin that's not the same as a 40-year-old's or a 20-year-old's, and – you see the age, and you start saying, wow, he's an old man, he's an old man. You know what? He walks the beach. He goes swimming in the ocean every day for like 50 years. I mean, you talk about discipline and rigor. I mean, his body, for an older man's body, you're talking early 90s or so.
Right.
Was he was in pretty good shape. He was probably in better shape than a lot of people that you
right.
know who
right.
were obese or whatever. And if you just shut him off and you said, wow, it's the same thing I was saying before. If you see, just because you see somebody in a wheelchair or somebody hunched over a little bit, it doesn't mean you can't spend time and have a conversation with them and gain so much information and humor and wisdom from that person. So judging somebody is a very dangerous way. That's true of anything when you think about
in
it.
In life, you know, I learned that early on. How you judge, so you shall be judged, but more importantly, you judge yourself. If you look at someone and say, oh, what a jerk, look at the way they handle their children, then someday you have children.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden you have an encounter with your child similar to that one. It limits your options because now you think to yourself, well, I can't do that because I frowned on that. So surely I can't do that. And it's very – judgment, judging is something that tethers you to a position in a world where you need to be able to change your position. That's the other thing. I have a funny feeling. The way Maya Angelou said, step to the side. If you don't like the path, step to the side. Take a different path. If you – are not flexible about your positions, you paint yourself into a corner. So maybe your belief is this today. Well, that belief may not be appropriate 5 years from now and may actually keep you in a bad place. When you just have to be able to make the – and so you have to cut yourself some slack.
I was just – I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I want to tell you something. There's a line that – and I really believe this, talking about belief systems shifting and whatever, and I've said this, time to change the way we think about older people and aging in general. Baby boomers have a vested interest in changing the way we view aging and older people, because clearly our generation, and we're the same age about, or we already established I'm your elder, right?
Yes, yes, by a couple months, yes.
By a couple months. We're the me generation. Come on, we're the generation that, you know, what do they say about us? That we're so self-centered or what? I don't know. I don't want to say negative things about it, but we're huge.
We
just
are.
By our
Look,
sheer numbers.
We're already getting flack for it. On my show, we discuss a lot about anti-aging, and so many people, when I talk to them about anti-aging, they think what I mean is I want to look young so I can chase some 25-year-old. Anti-aging is about avoiding age-related disease and living in full stride until the day that you die. Well, guess what? Having a mentality to go with it is really important, because who cares if you look great if you're miserable?
Right. You mentioned about the mind-body connection, and you're a Howard fan, so you know about John Sarno, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I actually went to him for
didn't John like didn't that. John's the guy who cured Howard of his back pain?
Yes.
Right, right.
Guy's a genius. He had a book originally called Healing Back Pain. Now he expanded it because he has a thing called tension myositis syndrome. We can't go into it now, but absolutely how you can relax certain parts of your body and cause oxygen flow and blood. You can get rid of pain. You can get rid of all kinds of conditions based on your mind. And I do believe that a lot of that is true.
There's no doubt about it. The mind plays a bigger role than we want to give credit to. But guess what? If you give credit to it, then you have control on your physiological outcome in life. What a wonderful gift to give yourself. What
yeah.
a wonderful gift. Anyway, yeah. Harry, we're coming to the end of the interview. It's really been a pleasure having you on the show. The book is called Gold. The extraordinary side of aging.
You got it. Yeah. Revealed through inspiring conversations. And I did want to point out that it is available on the website, eldercation.com, but it's also available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all those.
Oh, okay. Sites. Yeah, so you can get it wherever finer books are sold.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? One of my favorite books is a book that I got. The girl who was the understudy for Julie Andrews in Victor Victoria in Broadway, for my birthday, my 40th birthday, bought me a book called Taxicab Wisdom. And it was this person who took taxicabs all over Manhattan, and anytime a cab driver said something that was like a pearl of wisdom, she wrote it down. She turned it into a book.
Brilliant.
Yes. And you know what? Sometimes you get some of the greatest insight from those types of things. I think this book is like that. I think that people can find a lot of information in here to not only help them with aging, but help them with life, because that's what aging is all about, living. If you live long enough, you age.
Beautifully put.
Yeah, there you go.
It really is beautifully put.
Harry, pleasure having you on the show. We'll have you on again, okay?
I hope so.
Okay, all right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Carl.
All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to have Dr. David A. Cass on, talking about some new modalities of treating arrhythmias. We'll be right back. Know how great the Testo 100 transdermal testosterone boosting patch is? Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains diaspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better, bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle building fat burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today. I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on the Blueprint forum to ensure your success. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at orbitnutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit orbitnutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. orbitnutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at orbitnutrition.com. I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on the Blueprint forum to ensure your success.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro Series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate
accelerate body fat. AndroMass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. AndroHard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You know, if you pay attention to the pharmaceutical ads the way I do, you notice that within recent months there's been a lot more advertisements for drugs that correct arrhythmias. Arrhythmias tend to become predominant as individuals age, sometimes 40s and 50s. I believe that they come from a variety of factors in the environment. However, they can sometimes be life-threatening. My next guest, Dr. David A. Cass, is with Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, and his group has been working on issues related to arrhythmias. Hey, welcome to the show, Dr. Cass.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure.
First of all, tell my audience a little bit about the study that you performed. What was the design of the study? What outcome were you looking for? What were you actually searching for?
Sure. Let me give a little brief history. What we've been investigating for many years now is a form of heart failure where the heart pump is really not contracting as strong as it's supposed to, where in addition to that, the heart chamber itself is sort of out of sync, like an engine which is badly tuned. So the two sides of the wall, which should normally be contracting at the same time, so it'd be an efficient pump, aren't contracting at the same time. And it's not really so much an arrhythmia as it is kind of an electrical block, the conduction system that would normally stimulate all the sides of the heart to contract all at once and make it most effective, is diseased, and this is common in heart failure. And so as a result of a block, only one side of the heart gets the signal in time, and the other side gets it rather late. So the instead of contracting, synchronously, it's what we call dysynchronous.
And what ends up happening is the blood just begins to slosh back and forth inside the heart instead of ejecting from the heart properly.
Exactly, exactly. And so back in the mid-90s, mostly in Europe initially, and then with our group and some others in the United States, there was a thought that we could fix this with a pacemaker. I mean, people think of pacemakers as devices that go into a heart to make sure it doesn't beat too slow. If your heart rate gets too slow and you're about to pass out, the pacemaker would kick in. We're not using a pacemaker that way at all. We're going to use a pacemaker now to actually change the contraction timing, sort of like tune the engine, by stimulating two sides of the heart at the same time. And that way, both sides get the electrical signal at once, and therefore the muscle will contract sort of synchronously again. And as a result, you get less sloshing, as you said, and the blood now goes to the body, and the person feels better.
So basically, the pacemaker is being used not to pace the heart as much as to be the primary stimulus of the contractile function of the heart, taking that job away from the diseased circuitry in the heart.
Exactly. You're replacing the circuitry, and as a result, the heart pumps better. So you now have a more efficient and more effective heart pump. And this therapy became known as cardiac resynchronization therapy. It's exactly what it sounds like it's doing. And there were a variety of different pacemaker companies that developed both special ways, special wires to get to both sides of the heart, and somewhat modified pacemakers themselves to do this. And this was all approved within Europe and the United States a little over 10 years ago. So this is a therapy that really started in people, moved through testing in people, worked in people. A lot of large trials were done, and it improved symptoms in a person who has this kind of heart failure, sort of what we'll call dysynchronous heart failure.
Right.
And it saved lives. It made people feel better. They could exercise more, and it saved lives.
So these pacemakers, and I happen to know this, but maybe the audience doesn't, because my dad was fitted with a pacemaker before he passed away. These pacemakers are actually sensitive to the workload, so to speak, and they have the ability to have a dynamic pulse range. In other words, when you start exercising, they bump up the pulse, and when you relax, they come back down again, right?
Right. So one of the things that all pacemakers can do, if needed, is to sort of sense body motion. There are little sensors in there that can figure out whether or not you're actively moving, and using that signal can make the pacemaker go a little bit faster, so it sort of keeps up with your demand, with the requirements. That's very important if that particular kind of system isn't working. But actually, the CRT pacemakers they can do that. They don't have to be doing that. A lot of these patients, the problem really is just the synchrony. You're just trying to stimulate two sides at once to make these hearts now contract all at the same time. So the interesting question was, maybe this is what you're alluding to. For years, for decades, we had been trying collectively to come up with a therapy that would make a weak heart beat stronger.
Okay.
And this is a common problem in heart failure, and you would sort of think that this would be the place to target with the drug. But it never worked. If you stimulate the heart with all sorts of different kinds of drugs that were tried, it would be effective within minutes, you know, hours. But if you kept doing it over weeks, months, then actually it made the patient do worse, and in the end, in several large, prominent trials, actually worsened the mortality, which is clearly not what we're trying to do. So there had been a general sense by certainly the 1990s that any therapy that would make a weak heart beat stronger is going to be a problem. Then along came this therapy, the CRT. And indeed, one of the things it does, as we've said, it sort of tunes the engine, it gets everything timing back together again, and these hearts beat more strongly. They do more work. And yet, patients were not only feeling better, but they were living longer. So this is very interesting.
So what was novel about this approach that changed the landscape of the heart?
Well, that was the question. So exactly. We looked at this, and people thought this was still kind of a mechanical effect, an electrical stimulation that produced a mechanical effect, and that was it. Much like the guy in the shop, if your car was really out of tune, then he could tune it up and instantly, boom, better. But chronically, we know that almost anything that changes how the heart is working has biological effects, and these biological effects don't take place instantly. They take some time. And so we began to wonder whether or not there were key biological effects that we were inducing with this pacemaker therapy that were changing the muscle and the muscle cells in a unique way, and perhaps in a way that no other therapy had been able to do. If so, and we could figure out what those were, then our thinking was perhaps that itself, that change, could be turned into its own therapy, independent of the pacemaker. Maybe a drug, maybe a gene therapy, maybe something else. But in essence, you would have sort of extracted one of those fundamental biologic changes and now be able to use it in a wider group of patients who wouldn't be candidates for CRT normally because they don't have the synchrony. Their engine's already tuned.
Right.
And yet, there's something special biologically going on you could still use in those people.
Okay.
So that was that's where we started.
Let's do this. Let's take our first commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about what you found in these hearts. We're talking this hour with Dr. David Kass. He is with John Hopkins School of Medicine. We're talking about changing the landscape of the heart, how they can use this therapy in the future. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I'm
All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan-2, Mechanogrowth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
It was summertime in Northern Michigan. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. David A. Cass from Johns Hopkins School of Medicine about their recent research using a method that's designed to synchronize the heart, but actually to see what changes occur in the heart, because this resynchronization apparently produced a healthier heart that was an extrinsic effect of the therapy. Would that be a correct statement, Dr. Cass?
Yeah, sort of what we'll consider a longer-term sort of surprising and biological effect.
There you go. So what did you find? What did you find in the heart, the changes that took place?
Mm-hmm. Well, so one of the big area that we looked at was something that is known to be abnormal in heart failure. That's the ability of the heart muscle to be stimulated by a hormone like adrenaline. I think most of your listeners are familiar with adrenaline. This is a neural hormone that gets produced when the central nervous system wants to make the heart rate go faster or the heart beat stronger. It releases this transmitter, and that hormone interacts at the surface of a heart muscle cell in what are called beta receptors, and the beta receptors then are the things that signal to the cell, the muscle cell, to beat more strongly. And there are a whole series of cascades that are involved in that signal. And in heart failure, that signal is very depressed. So it would be like you're driving and you're pushing down the accelerator pedal and you want to go and it doesn't work. I mean,
right.
It's not responding. So what the body does is what you would do. You push more. You keep until literally you're flooring it, and yet you're still not going. And that is sort of the heart failure condition. One of the secrets of CRT seems to be that it is undoing part of that, an important part of that lack of response. And how it does it is very unique. We've never seen this with another kind of heart failure therapy. So to be specific, the way in which the failing heart sort of down-regulates or fails to respond is by increasing a protein, it's called the G-protein, inhibitory G-protein, which acts like a brake. So, again, using the car analogy, you're driving, you're pushing your foot on the accelerator pedal, but at the same time, your other foot slamming down on the brake. And the question is would there be a way to take your foot off the brake? If you could do that, the heart will respond.
Right.
Your car will go better. And CRT did that. CRT effectively reduced this brake protein effect, not by reducing the protein itself, but actually by upregulating another protein we call RGS protein that removes the brake. That's one of the jobs of RGS proteins is to influence this whole family of proteins called G proteins. So you've got too much brake in the normal failing heart, and this was definitely the case in heart failure that was desynchronous. It's also true of heart failure that was perfectly synchronous. Both kinds of heart failure have this enhanced inhibitory protein that acts like a brake.
Okay, now let me ask you a question. Do you feel that it was the resynchronization or the heart operating in a resynchronized environment that had the effect, or was it the electrical impulse that maybe was not getting to the heart because of the block that occurred that had the changing effect on RGS 2 and 3?
Right. Good question. So we think it's the sort of the mechanical response. Let's put it this way. We don't think it's simply artificially stimulating the heart with a pacemaker lead and introducing the electricity that way that did something particularly unusual, because we were able to get the same effect when we resynchronized the heart but used the normal native electrical wiring, which we maintained so that it was still normal as opposed to being blocked. So we could do it either way. Whether or not the fact that the muscle is getting an electrical stimulus sooner and thus contracting sooner is key, whether it's the electrical part or the mechanical part, very tough to separate. In fact, impossible to separate, because one sort of begets the next, right? You stimulate, you get contraction. We would have to figure out some way to have the electricity get there and yet the muscle not respond to it if we wanted to try to tease that out.
Well, let me ask you a question, Dr. Cass.
Sure.
Are there other ways of affecting the RGS protein, such as exercise? I remember reading, I think you were involved in a group back in 2009 that looked at, I want to say, the effects of swimming on G proteins, correct?
Well, we did. This was an interesting study in mice where we did the opposite. We actually had a mouse that was missing one of the two RGS proteins that we've been looking at with CRT, RGS2. And what was interesting about that experiment was that both various kinds of stress can increase the production of these proteins. Whether
really?
Exercise does it, I'm not positive. It's been reported that certainly having a high blood pressure and having the heart get thick in response to high blood pressure increases it. What was particularly interesting to us was that this increase is very protective if you don't have it, if the protein doesn't exist because you've genetically changed the mouse so
right.
it doesn't express it. Then if you swim the mice, that kind of exercise, they're fine. You're not triggering a signal that the RGS protein would necessarily act as sort of a protector against. On the other hand, if you expose them to the equivalent of high blood pressure, they got very sick very fast. And in
really?
Fact, many were dying within within a week. It was very unusual. So this was sort of like the perfect Achilles heel, only the right stimulus. And it was not a physiologic one. It would have to be a pathologic one. So we know they are important, but no other drug therapy for heart failure has ever described their increase, sort of upregulation, as part of the therapy, is why the therapy might work. CRT is, it's really the first time that that a heart failure therapy has been shown to do this, albeit in an animal model now. We're not talking about people yet. Now in the study, we did look at people. We looked at patients who had received CRT, and we were able to get some muscle tissue right at the very beginning before the CRT was used, and 4 months later after the CRT had been being used. And those patients who responded to CRT, who clearly were clinically better, also showed that these two RGS proteins, RGS2 and RGS3, went up. In the patients that didn't respond, that had really no benefit, and that is often about 30% of everyone who gets it, nothing happened to those proteins. So there's a hint there that this upregulation, the sort of biologic effect of CRT, is relevant to humans, that it is indeed happening in those who are receiving the therapy and are benefiting. And that opens the door really to the broader use of the discovery, which is, could you apply this to hearts that are not asynchronous, patients who are not getting CRT, right, because they're not a candidate.
Right.
CRT wouldn't resynchronize because they're already synchronous.
Right.
But would upregulating their RGS 2 and 3 be useful? And if so, we're talking now about close to 70% of heart failure patients who have kind of this reduced heart function problem, where this could be a brand new therapeutic approach.
You know, this is interesting, especially with my audience, because we have a lot of people in the audience that are athletic types, and you point out that the hemodynamic effect on the heart could actually upregulate the production of these proteins that then cause the heart to be less stimulated, if you will, when necessary. And it's well known amongst the athletic community that those of us who engage in heavy resistance training for long periods of time, the structure of the heart changes. Many of us have some form of hypertrophy. But more importantly, many of us suffer from mild cases of bradycardia, which is some people just call the athletic heart. Some of the physicians who dwell within the sports sciences will say, well, that's an athletic heart. You know, you've got a 42 beat per minute pulse rate because you're highly trained. I wonder if the, you know, those of us who lift heavy weights, we undergo Valsalva over and over and over again. I wonder if those types of hemodynamic changes could also precipitate the heart becoming less responsive.
Increases in these proteins.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. It's a very interesting question. And weightlifting, that kind of weightlifting, does subject the heart to higher artery pressures, sort of like high blood pressure, in a shorter period of time. You Valsalva in part to offset those changes. Otherwise, you know, your face gets red and you can see your neck veins are popping up.
Right.
So that's why the Valsalva is used. But it is, in that sense, a similar kind of stress on the heart, to one that, at least in some animal models, has been shown to upregulate these proteins. So,
interesting.
Whether or not that happens in a healthy athlete's heart, unknown. As far as I know, there have not been studies where healthy athletes have had bits of their heart muscle taken out, and where we could look at it under with some molecular tools and see what's going on. But it is an intriguing possibility. Certainly, if it was happening, our data would support that. Would probably be a good thing. This is like actually a good thing to have going on. If it, that's the kind of hypertrophy response that you're getting.
Yeah. One other question before we go into this break. I noticed in this study that It looks, I could be incorrect because I'm just gleaning this, but did you in fact use a PDE5 inhibitor to mitigate some of the negative effects on those mice?
You're right. You're talking about the earlier study.
Yeah, the earlier study in 2009. I was just handed to me. I'm looking at it. Yeah.
Right. This is another bit of research we've been doing, but we did test a sildenafil or Viagra, a PDE5 inhibitor, in that mouse paper, principally because there was an indication that one of the ways in which the sildenafil was able to protect the heart against sort of the bad outcomes of sustained high blood pressure stress was by stimulating these RGS proteins, particularly RGS2. That was in fact what got us into that study in the first place. We were trying to understand how sildenafil was working. We had already published a study earlier suggesting that it could benefit the heart.
Because it's well known to reduce cardiac blood pressure, correct? I mean, that's actually one of the negatives.
You mean sildenafil?
Yeah, or even Cialis. Cialis, I think, is the one.
Cialis. They're all PDE5 inhibitors.
Right.
Not actually very much at all. I mean, we're learning this principally by ongoing studies where these drugs are being used now on a daily basis in people with specific lung diseases, and there's actually a multi-center trial where they're being used in a form of heart failure where the heart is hypertrophied. And we're not seeing the kind of blood pressure drops that you're used to thinking of with a vasodilator. It's clear that those drugs have effects below the belt, which are vasodilation
related.
There
right.
you go. And it does it in the lung, too. It's very highly expressed in the lung, and it vasodilates blood vessels in the lung. But the arterial system, not all that responsive. And more of the clinical trials that we're seeing as it's being tested in heart failure, there's almost no blood pressure changes at all. You're not supposed to take it with nitrates.
Right.
Those can interact, and that may drop blood pressure more. That's certainly what people are told, and that's prudent. But by themselves, they actually don't do much. So the protective effects on the heart that we were seeing were really independent of blood pressure.
Huh.
But in that study, we linked it to the RGS2 protein. So another indicator that these RGS proteins are things you'd actually like to have around. They're sort of a flak jacket if you're getting you're getting shot at.
Right.
You want them there to protect you, and if you can upregulate them, that the way they're working actually ends up protecting the heart.
So did the PDE5 inhibitors have some upregulation of the RGS proteins?
Not by themselves.
No.
Not that we've demonstrated. Okay. But the PDE5 inhibitors work through another kind of signal.
Pathway.
Ultimately lead to the activation of an enzyme that in turn can stimulate the RGS2 protein.
Gotcha. Okay. Let's do this. Let's take it. We're running late on a break. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I've got more questions for you. We're talking with Dr. David Kass from Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein and the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both the Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on the Blueprint forum to ensure your success.
Your shaker bottle is the most important tool in meal planning. The convenience in being able to take a ready-to-drink meal on the road is a necessity. Too often, our shaker bottle backfires on us, making what should be a convenience a disaster. Shaker Pro is the only shaker bottle in the world with a separate chamber to keep your protein powder dry until you're ready to mix it. Shaker Pro's patented design ensures that all of your powders will blend completely. Shaker Pro is BPA-free. Go to 4sportlife.com today. That's the number 4, sportlife.com. The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MikeMahler.com.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest this hour is Dr. David Kass from Johns Hopkins School of Medicine. Very interesting information going on about synchronization of the heart, heart function. Any idea how long it takes for the landscape of the heart to change once the CRT therapy has been applied?
Also, great question. Well, no, I don't know. We can guess that these kinds of changes are the kinds of changes that occur over weeks, usually, not certainly within days or hours, but not necessarily years.
I mean, right.
Generally, with heart failure therapy, one of the signs that we're seeing what we'll call a biologic effect, a long-term biologic effect, is that a big dilated part, left ventricle, is getting smaller. It actually is what we call reverse remodeling. With that change in size back towards a more normal heart, usually when you see that, you see quite a few biological effects that have occurred. In the humans with CRT, that kind of reverse remodeling or shrinkage of the heart size back towards a more normal size took about 3 to 6 months to begin to see. It could be significant, statistically significant. People
right.
had to wait about 6 months. Within 3 months, we're getting a hint.
We
usually wait at least 3 months
okay.
before we set it.
Now, at the end of this process, the CRT is then removed and the heart is allowed to resume its normal job?
No, because basically, unless you were able to restore the electrical conduction system back to normal, it's still abnormal. So this is sort of a permanent fix. You've got to be there. You've got to keep stimulating. So if you have the synchrony, and this is going to help it, then it doesn't solve the underlying dissynchrony problem.
In your research, what causes this dissynchrony?
Well, we did it on purpose. So we produced what most patients actually have due to their own heart disease. There are two main wires sort of what we call conduction bundles in the ventricle. One goes towards the right side, the other goes towards the left side. And we essentially damaged the left side. We used a sort of a radio frequency pulse.
An ablation, you basically did.
An ablation,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly the same idea that people do on purpose to ablate or to get rid of arrhythmias.
Right.
In this case, we use the same ablation technology, same catheter, but to create essentially the disease, to create the bundle branch block, left bundle. And that produced the synchrony. And then on top of that, we superimposed a way to induce heart failure in the animal. In patients who have the synchrony left bundle branch block, that same kind of conduction abnormality is the most common, that produces the most asynchrony. And it's thought to develop in patients often because they've had heart attacks, so there's been damage. Some of that muscle just simply died and got replaced by scar, and so it's like you've got insulator instead of wire, and it just doesn't conduct properly. In other cases, it's the hormones and changes in the structure of the heart that take place over time that have influenced the conduction. So same net effect, just doesn't conduct properly. It's very sluggish, so it acts essentially like it's blocked. But we don't have any good way at present to regenerate it, to get that back.
What about, assuming that the cells in the heart have a certain amount of, do you know how long it takes for a cell to turn over in the heart?
No. There are people who are estimating that indeed all of us have some cells that are regenerating. The rate is clearly low, and it's not high enough to have hearts be able to recover after significant damage by themselves.
Right.
That's clear.
Right.
The proof there's in the pudding. But exactly how fast in the human heart, I mean, there have been estimates, there have been others who are investigating this, and can we come up with some way to make that happen much more rapidly or much more robustly? That's obviously a big area of interest in a lot of investigators.
In 1998, I had developed an arrhythmia. I was put on Cardizem and some other drug at that time. And today I don't have that arrhythmia, but I turned to, at that point in my life, long periods of slow to moderate cardiovascular exercise, walking. I would walk for hours and hours and hours every single week. I would walk and walk and walk and walk. And eventually I asked my doctor to take me off the Cardizem, which he reluctantly did, and my arrhythmia was gone. And I'm just curious. I wonder if the CRT corrects the dissynchronization of the heart. And I'm just wondering if that dissynchronization also corrects itself momentarily when a person is forced to, let's say, walk. I know when you first start walking, your heart rate doesn't stabilize yet, but then all of a sudden it kind of gets into the groove and then it starts beating on its own. And I'm just wondering if exercise has any benefits. Obviously nothing heroic, but just simple walking, does that change the landscape of the RGS protein in the heart?
Start with your where you're going initially. Does it change the synchrony?
Yes.
Change, let's say, the conduction timing? And
yes,
that's a great question. That was actually a question that we also wondered about, because and the short answer, well, I'll give you the answer first, and I can tell you a little bit of story. But the short answer is that we don't think so. We didn't see evidence that you could correct it.
Okay.
Now the kinds of arrhythmias describing, which I'm guessing, are atrial arrhythmias where you might have felt your palpitations, you might have felt your heart.
Yeah, it was a PVC, I think it was called, a preventricular.
Okay, PVC. So these are extra beats in the lower chamber that come intermittently, but you'd still feel it like a thump thump.
Well, it actually would precipitate a missed heartbeat, if you will. Like one would come too soon, I guess, is what was happening.
You get a pause.
Right.
You get the long pause. And often people feel the pause, actually.
Right.
They feel the extra, the stronger one. They don't feel the weaker one.
Right.
But those kinds of abnormalities are definitely on a kind of neural, hormonal, regulatory, regulatory control. So if you're, increase in the sympathetic stimulation and or you change the vagal stimulation levels, the irritability of that area that might be firing the extra beat and producing the pause and making you feel it, can change. And so I'm not surprised to hear that
it went away.
Exercise, yeah. Which changes, as you know, the kind of balance. You actually become less dependent on sympathetic stimulation the more you're better conditioned
but
you are.
You want to hear something?
Heart rate doesn't go as fast.
Want to hear something really interesting, Dr. Cass? I think that there was another problem that I had. I was very overweight at the time, and you just introduced the vagal nerve into the discussion. I had developed something that I believe was something once taught in medical schools, but kind of abandoned now, called Rumsfeld syndrome. I believe that I was starting to develop either some sort of pressure in the upper abdomen or something, because I had other symptoms. My ears used to ring, my throat used to have a constant tickle, and I around the time that I developed this, when I lost my weight, a lot of these things went away. I really believe that my vagal nerve was being pinched off in the area of where it passes through the hiatal flap, if you will. And I was actually precipitating these irregular heartbeats, if you will, because of the vagal nerve. So it's funny you should say that. That was my theory later on in life after I looked at what I had done and my other symptoms at the time. But, okay, so these are not the same types of things we're talking about when we talk about people who suffer heart failure, obviously.
That's the synchrony.
Yeah.
I mean, we tested this by actually trying to look at the amount of desynchrony in some patients where we stimulated the heart with the same kind of hormones we used in our recent study that would normally be triggered during exercise.
Right.
But we had to do it we were doing this in a nuclear magnetic resonance machine, and we couldn't have them, we couldn't put a treadmill in there,
yeah,
had to do it with a drug.
Right.
But we wondered, you know, would it all go away? Maybe we only see this when people are at rest, but when they're stimulated, everything speeds up and the desynchrony goes away.
Yeah, like an old automobile with a bad idle, but once you give it a little gas, it levels out. You know,
it levels out.
Right.
So we thought that'd be really important to know before we spend the next 10 years on the clinical side developing this therapy. But the answer did not look to be the case. If you have it, it's there, and you know, one side is always before the other, and it's true as you're walking. The speed of conduction does increase somewhat, but it's still later in the one that's delayed, and so you still have desynchrony, and that impact doesn't go away. So if you're going to get a CRT device because you have that problem, that's going to be there, and that'll need to be there. It's, as I say, the larger, almost twice as many people who don't get CRT devices and who have terrible heart failure. I mean, it can have very, very significant symptoms. But we have nothing beyond the drugs that we currently use. We have nothing else to particularly offer. And so what we've, I think, come up with in the animal study is the idea that we're going to extract this particular protein target as either a drug or a gene therapy. And we think that would be good in general. We have
yes.
to prove it. It's clearly, we're really at the first stages now of trying to demonstrate that indeed increasing these RGS proteins would be good for a failing heart that is synchronous, that has no desynchrony at all, and wouldn't get CRT. But this alone, we're suspecting, will make the heart respond better. And again, the nature of this response is important to distinguish from how we did it before. When we stimulated the heart before, it was 24/7. You took a pill. The pill induced a chemical change that made the heart want to beat more strongly. And it wasn't on demand. It was pretty much there. With the way that we're doing this with the RGS proteins, with the CRT effect, there you're lifting a brake on a brake. So there's, in a sense, if you're sitting in your car going nowhere, you can do anything you want to with your brakes. You wouldn't even know what brakes do because
right.
nothing would happen. You'd think they're useless. It's only when you're driving that you can find out exactly what brakes are for.
Right.
And in this case, the impact of the change will only be manifest, will only occur if the patient needs it, if they're doing something. When they're sitting in a chair watching a boring TV show, then you know, it doesn't have to do anything. When they're sitting there watching their favorite football team doing well and they're getting excited, you know, then okay.
It'll, right.
It's there. And obviously when they get up and have to walk up a flight of stairs, which is what a lot of heart failure patients find very difficult to do, then it should be there.
What's
sort of a benefit on demand.
What are the symptoms of the individuals who don't have dyssynchrony, but yet they are candidates for heart failure? They you said they have a variety of symptoms. What are those symptoms?
Well, any patient with heart failure, whether you have dyssynchrony or not, the most common set of symptoms are fatigue, being really unable to do increasingly the activities of daily living, and getting short of breath, so you almost feel like you're suffocating,
right. Like
you're drowning. And in its extreme, when heart failure gets very severe, fluid is indeed building up in the tissue of the lung. We can see it. That's why you take a chest x-ray when someone comes into emergency room and is in heart failure. We can see that fluid. And that has to be managed with pills that essentially make you pee it out, other medicines that reduce the workload on the heart so
right.
that it doesn't have to work so hard, beta blockers, which are used in heart failure, which are actually, in that sense, also acting a bit of a break.
I was just going to say, my final question was actually going to be about the beta adrenergic system and beta blockers like propranolol, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
If the heart failure individual becomes resistant to the adrenergic response, because of the changes in the RGS landscape, wouldn't a beta blocker exacerbate the problem?
Acutely, it does. And certainly back when I was in medical school and well into when I was starting my cardiology fellowship, beta blockers were considered pretty much counterindicated
right.
for heart failure because they will depress heart function if I give it to really anybody acutely. But what was increasingly being realized in heart failure is the fact that you are hyperstimulating the heart. The body doesn't know why the heart's not working well. If the heart could somehow tell the body, leave me alone, that would be great, but it can't. The body is the slave driver in this case, and really wants the part to provide it blood flow and blood pressure. All these organs are signaling the brain, not enough, give us more. That translates to the adrenaline stimulation.
So there's a negative feedback, actually a negative feedback.
That's toxic.
Right.
Over time, that actually produces and worsens the underlying heart failure. So what we discovered with beta blockers is the first thing you have to do is give really small doses, very small doses, so that the negative effect that is there, will be there, is minimal and the patient can tolerate it. And over time, like putting a Band-Aid on a cut on someone's arm, which isn't healing because they keep scratching it. If you put enough wrap around it so that no matter what, they just can't get to it, things can heal. So the beta blockers have a chronic effect, a long-term effect, that is beneficial. So we don't, and that indeed is translated in the other way. Drugs that act just like adrenaline, which were the mainstay of our
right.
Therapies to stimulate the heart that are always there, that you take as a pill, that actually worsen the toxicity.
It makes perfect sense. We only have to look at other hormones with negative feedback loops. You only have to look at insulin and insulin resistance. You pour on insulin, the cells become immune to its effect, and they become resistant to it. The same is happening with the heart. So basically
right.
what you're saying is by putting the beta blocker in there in minimal doses, you're actually giving the cells of the heart a chance to go, you know, leave me alone, and then they resensitize.
Right. They can resensitize, not and unfortunately not enough. But yes, that's exactly the idea. And in that sense, the beta blocker is like a beta adrenergic sensitizer, just like people are looking for insulin sensitizers right now for diabetes.
Right.
And in a sense, what the RGS upregulation is doing is analogous. It is also sensitizing, but doing it in a what looks to be a safer way. This way of sensitizing is not one that is enhancing toxicity, but is allowing the heart to respond when needed, but leaving it alone to rest when it needs to rest. And if that does translate, that would be a very different kind of modification of the adrenergic system that we've really not been able to do to date. As I said, a lot between our study and testing this in people, but I think a pretty clear path what we need to do next.
Very, very exciting work. Very exciting work. Exciting to hear about, these types of rhythm problems in the heart are becoming more and more prevalent in society today. I have my theories. I think I shared with you during our first phone call that I believe that it's actually advanced glycation end products that are forming on the heart, akin to taking a drop of solder and dropping it on a PC board, and it branches across, runs and lands and shorts things out and redirects electricity to the wrong places. I think that these AGEs form the way they do on all organs and internal tissue from insulin resistant people. Which do you find that these types of heart failure issues are found higher in people who are suffering from insulin resistance?
Certainly diabetes,
yeah.
Both type 1 and type 2 diabetes, yeah. is a significant risk factor for
yeah.
the development of heart failure, so yeah. that we know. And AGEs, as you're referring to, advanced glycation end products, occur both as people get older and certainly occur in people who are diabetic. And I think you're right, are thought to influence not only the sort of structure of a lot of molecules. We did studies years back with AGE looking at its impact on what we'll call hardening of the arteries or arterial sclerosis that produces stiff vessels.
Right.
And one of the reasons why in old people your blood pressure, instead of 120 over 80, could be 170 over 80. So you get this big wide pulse that we know is a risk factor for other heart problems and for stroke. And AGEs are still thought to play a role. And it's not entirely clear how important. It's been a very difficult thing to study, but I think the general view is that these things are contributing to that pathology. In the heart, it probably also plays a role. Again, there's good animal data, not so clear yet in people how important it is. But I think your idea of whether it's solder on a circuit board or actually changing a bunch of proteins in a way that is more targeted in that sense, but it doesn't work anymore. So that would mean that the capacitor on the circuit board has actually been selectively replaced by another chip component that turns out not to be good.
Right. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
That AGEs have the ability to do that. They can modify proteins once they're produced and make them not work the way they're supposed to. And so there certainly are people who are pursuing that and think that that's going to be important too.
Dr. Cass, I want to thank you so much for taking time to come on the show today.
Sure, again, my pleasure.
Okay, take care of yourself.
Okay.
All right, so there you have it. That was the discussion that we wanted to have about the changes in rhythm in the heart and some of the research that's being done to correct it by Dr. Cass's group over at Johns Hopkins School of Medicine. I want to thank Harry Jay Getzoff for coming on. His book, Gold, The Extraordinary Side of Aging. You can get it at Amazon or wherever fine books are sold, or you can get it at his website, eldercation.com. Eldercation.com has some great video footage, too, of some of his interviews. Really, really fun stuff. You should check it out. We've got a great show planned for tomorrow, Casual Friday. Elisa has been working feverishly on it. Lots of opportunities for me to rant. We'll see you then.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready. Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.